What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, District 6. What's your agenda? This week, we have a lot of guests. We have Dr. Jordan Nutley, Catherine Windsor, Stephanie Kenningham, Courtney Washington, Alan Reed, and of course, my new co-host, Sean Reedy at Rice University. So, Dr. Jordan Nutley, we're going to start with you. PhD, LAT, ADC, then the program director at the University of St. Augustine. So, Dr. Jordan Nutley, will you please tell us about your committee, and then we're going to ask you a couple questions about what's going on inside of your committee.
Sure. First, thanks for hosting this. I think it's no longer cutting edge to do things like these, so it's sort of an expectation that a lot of us have in communicating to the masses. So I appreciate District 6 initiative and getting on board with that. My committee is the Post-Professional Education Committee, and it's a group of individuals. I represent District 6 on this committee. It's a group of individuals looking at the education that our students in athletic training are getting after that initial entry into the profession. So truly that post-professional realm. We're working on three main projects right now that I wanted to share with the group. And that is two that have been completed and one that's moving forward right now. We were the initial group on forming the BATS, the Board of Athletic Training Specialization. And a lot of you may have seen or heard of our specialization that has moved forward, which is the orthopedic specialty cert. So I wanted to give you a little background on that, but keeping it short. The PPEC was the initial BATS, which is the Board of Athletic Training Specialties, and reviewing those specialty recommendations that came through. However, this is now transitioned to the ECE, and they're going to handle the BATS now at this time. So any further specialty certs that come through, the ECE is going to form a board and handle it that way. So an official membership of the BATS board, if you want to think of it that way. So that originated within this committee, some grassroots work there through this committee to form that. The first specialty certification that came out of our work was the orthopedic specialty cert, and that's now in petition form, and it's been put forward to the BATS. And right now the BATS and the Board of Certification are working on it to make sure that it fits what our profession needs in the way of that orthopedic specialty cert. Because it's one thing to put that out there and say, hey, here's a specialty cert. The other piece, the other side of that is, does it meet what we need as far as a skill set in that setting? So the BOC is gonna do an analysis, a task analysis, to make sure that that specialty cert petition meets that need of ATs practicing in that current setting or settings. Our third thing, which is really progressing quite nicely and really will focus the majority of our time on now moving through 2016, is the doctoral education plan discussion, however you want to phrase that. So the group now is sort of reconvening. We've been off on all these little work groups and working, and we're coming back together to support the work of the doctoral work group, which is a series of people that have been selected to discuss and develop a set of white papers around this initiative. So you'll see the PPEC really putting all of our hands on deck on this effort to define, you know, really what that doctorate, that DAT should look like in athletic training. So that's on our plate, and it's a rather large piece of lasagna, if you want to think about it that way. It's going to take us a while, and there are already programs out there in existence. So that's what makes it even harder. It's more complex. It's got a lot of vegetables and meats and things in it. So we have to think as we digest this and how it's going to affect the broader profession. So that's what we're working on now, and that's where the majority of our efforts are.
All right, so the doctoral of education plan, is that kind of the next step? Because we just moved to the entry-level master's. Is that like the goal of that, or is this just for an optional DAT?
So it is not the goal. It is just that, you know, if you're going to call something, if you're going to call a degree athletic training, Jeremy, the athletic training, the National Athletic Training Association, the Board of Certification of Athletic Training has something to say about that. That's sort of why we have skin in that game. If you want to call it athletic therapy, if you want to call it athletic fitness, whatever, okay. But if you're going to call it athletic training, the majority consensus is that we have a say in that. Now, each university itself has a say in how that degree is structured and what it's called. However, the powers that be suggest that we should have a say in this. We should structure and make recommendations. So the white papers are going to do that. It is in no way, shape, or form recommending this is going to be the new entry into the profession or the professional level of entry.
Gotcha.
Those programs that do, that have already started that DAT program, which, I mean, there are several people that are already in their first, second, or have graduated from those programs. How will that affect those individuals?
It won't. It won't devalue their degree in any way. The mission of this work group really is to shape the future of that. And obviously, people have gotten out of the gates quicker and formulated these programs. We're hopeful that we can shape those programs, take the best from each program that's out there, Sean, and really shape something that's cutting edge and going to serve our athletic training body, our students that are seeking that advanced knowledge. Where can those students take us following achieving that DAT?
All right. So, Megan, that's the Post-Professional Education Committee, Dr. Jordan Utley. Do you have something, Sean?
Yeah, I was just going to go ahead and say, what can people help with that committee, or how do people get involved with that committee then?
Well, Buzz Swanick is our chair, who recently will be stepping down and will be transitioning in Gary Wilkerson. So if you're interested in helping on the doctoral work group, contact Gary Wilkerson. He'll be our new transitioning in chair, and he can plug you into our framework and where you best fit.
All right.
Awesome.
And then,
thanks for that.
If someone has some feedback, you said, again, just talk with Gary Wilkerson, and that'll be the best way to kind of get that through to the committee?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So Gary Wilkerson, do you happen to have his contact information? Maybe you can send it via email?
I can, sure. If anyone wants to contact me, jutley@usa.edu, and I can connect you with Gary directly.
All right. So Dr. Jordan Utley, leading the Post-Professional Education Committee, also the program director at the University of San Augustine. And that is just one of the committees that is represented here in District 6, also known as SWATA. So next up on the list, Dr. Utley, thanks for joining us. Feel free to stay. So Catherine Windsor. Catherine is also going to be a guest on an upcoming show. We're talking about middle school athletic trainers, because Catherine has some experience there, and hopefully I can gain some knowledge from her. But Stephanie and Catherine are in charge of the registration committee. And so, Catherine, why don't you go ahead and say hello?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. All right, Catherine, you work at New Caney ISD, right?
Yes.
And you're no longer at the middle school?
No, I still am at the middle school. I'm just starting my third year here.
Okay. All right, cool. So we'll talk a little bit more about that again on the next show, but I'm going to jump over to Stephanie. Stephanie, say hello.
Hi, how's everybody going?
Good, good. All right, I see you made it inside. You're not having a podcast from the
yes.
street or from the road here. So.
Yes, I went ahead and drove in.
All right. Since I already got it on you, Stephanie, why don't you go ahead and tell me what is the overall goal of the registration committee for SWATA?
So the registration committee is something that is a fantastic organization. So what we do is anybody that wants to attend our annual meeting is we take in all the registration information. We fill all of those calls, questions, everything that goes on in attending the actual convention. The committee does a lot with volunteers as well. My mission is really, and I think Catherine is very much on board with this, is the registration committee. We feel like we are the face of our organization when people attend SWATA. And one of the things we want to do is, because we are the face of that convention and the people that most everybody comes in contact with, we want to make it a smooth transition to actually get to their meetings. We encourage young volunteers and students to be a part of this, because this is a wonderful way to network and market and meet, many different individuals from all different perspectives of our profession, whether it's, college or secondary or any of the other emerging practices as well. Catherine, do you have anything you want to say?
No. That's definitely some of the most important parts of registration. We really just want to make the conference, just when the members get there, just as streamlined as possible. We kicked off a lot of new things this past year at SWATA. We had an app. We got rid of packets and went to a little bit less paper form, and it seemed to be received very well by the people that I talked to.
All right, so I got a few questions. I run the website for GHATS, our local organization here in Houston, and we have our student aid, student athletic trainer, whatever it is, workshop coming up in January. And so I've tried to develop an app. I've tried to come up with ways that are make it easier for registration and to see who is actually here. What advice do you guys have for me or for any of us that are involved in local organizations that, as far as technology and the ease of the registration and check-in process?
I know that SWATA uses Event Rebels. I'm not sure on the details of how to get that on a smaller scale for GHATS or something like that. But I know one option would be to look into like Google Forms or some other Google style of registering attendees and checking in attendees that might direct it right into a spreadsheet. That might be an option that you could look at.
Yeah, we've used Google Forms, Google Docs, and that kind of thing. And I'm just trying to see if there's a easier way. So what was the name of the thing that SWATA uses?
Yeah, it's called Event Rebels. It's one word, EVEENTREBELS. So all of those emails that we got while we were at SWATA was all streamlined directly through Event Rebels. And then the SWATA registration website was all ran directly through Event Rebels.
So gotcha. Every time you guys would get an email, say, from David or Josh or anything while you were at SWATA, the email would be generated through Event Rebels, as well as, you know, any changes to the schedule, anything like that. It works really well as far as organization. But it is something that is costly. So that's something that, you know, if you are looking at doing, I'm sure that there are other organizations out there. But right now, Google does a lot. I work with several organizations that go through Google and use all the Google Docs and Google Forms. And that's usually one of the best ways for smaller organizations to kind of, you know, not have all those overhead costs.
So Google Forms is probably at the point, at this point, the best option for free.
Absolutely.
Okay, because I went to some sort of technology conference and they had some sort of sign-in, and I think they were using Eventbrite, but I could never get it all together, couldn't get it working like how I saw them having it work, and I don't know. I keep trying, but I feel like I keep having to go to the same thing, so any new ideas help me, give me different options and ideas, so.
It was really
cool. Look into some of the other stuff for smaller organizations. I know that with some of my other obligations with my employment, you know, there are some things with Outlook. Depending on what service you use, there's quite a bit of, you know, apps and options out there.
The Event Rebels was pretty cool at SWATA. I definitely liked that a lot with, it popped up with the app and told us where we were supposed to go, what we had signed up for, and I really liked it. I thought it was it was pretty cool. It was really handy too. So, is that similar? Now, obviously, we're talking District 6, but is that similar for those outside of District 6 in their meetings, like the GLADA meeting or those others? Is there similar registration committees that people can also get onto as well that you guys know of?
Off the top of my head, I don't know directly the kind of layout of the other committees, but I mean, that's definitely something we could look into and see as far as outside of SWATA. I'm certain that at their conventions, they would have some sort of process for registration very similar to what we have at SWATA.
We could, I can look into Alamo area and CTATS as well and see kind of what they do. I will say, I know that the smaller sub organizations that I've been a part of, it would be better to have some more formalized organization as far as when their meeting is and things like that. Those are really the only two I would have experience with.
All right. That'll work. So again, any ways that we can help out there. If someone wants to get involved with SWATA, with the registration there at SWATA, then how can they do that?
Yeah, actually, we have a Google Sheets that Stephanie created, and she's had it for a couple of years now, that she'll send out to her contacts that they'll in turn send out to their contacts. And it's grown a lot just over the past few years I've been around. And they can sign up for times that they want to help, and it's not committing them to a whole day. Like, say you want to stop by for an hour and help at registration, or say you caught a meeting and you have some time after, you can stop by, sign up then, or help stuff the freebie bags of all the vendors donate items. So that's a real easy way to get involved with registration. And we always accept anyone that just walks up and jumps in. We had a lot of people help out that way last year.
Oh, that's good to know.
And one more thing, as far as volunteers, I think in the past, I've been on the committee for 2 years now. I've been a chair for 2 years. And one of the things, there wasn't a lot of organization with our committee. And so when I came on, I saw that there needed to be some formalized, organization, for lack of a better term, to help our volunteers know when to be there, know the times, and not stress all, the same volunteers all day long so that they miss the meetings. And so when Catherine came on, we visit a lot about that. The other thing is, if you know of students, college students, or even high school students, or new to the profession, or somebody that's looking to get involved, registration is a fantastic way to do so, because that is the one area I feel that you can see and be exposed to all the other different areas. So if individuals are looking to get involved, I highly encourage the registration committee, because it does open quite a few doors for me. It has for me and for anybody that comes around.
So you said even high school students could help. How could high school students help out?
Well, we find that, to me, I think that it's great for high school students to see, like with packet stuffing, or even helping us man, the actual registration site. If they are attending and they have a little bit of time, I feel like that would be a great opportunity to kind of see, how we meet and greet individuals of our profession, from the people that are kind of the forefathers to, the person that just got their certification. So we want to encourage anybody that wants to come be involved to do so. We have established actual members of our committee within the last year, and then we also take volunteers. So there's two different kind of ways you can be involved.
All right. Any other thoughts or questions for registration for Catherine or Stephanie? Sean, you got anything else?
No, I helped for, I think, the first hour of the first day at SWATA this past year, and it was kind of crazy. So, but it was a lot of fun. I encourage anybody to go do it and sign up for some time and stuff like that. It was nuts. So, but it was a lot of fun.
It actually was the first year that we used the Event Rebels. And so there was some learning curve that we had to, go through. But I think we, we'll make some adjustments, and hopefully it'll get better for next year. But if anybody wants to, volunteer, please contact Catherine or myself. We would love to have you.
Sounds great. All right. And how do they get a hold of you?
We're on the SWATA page. We have all of our contact information. I know mine's on my school page, and I think it should be on the SWATA site too. And then one last thing I wanted to say too, for registration, or really for any committee, to anyone that attends SWATA or another conference, is always make sure that they do the comment cards at the end, because I know that is one way they look into improving and changing things, just to make it the best they can for the members. And that goes really for any conference, but especially SWATA, and last year being, like she said, the first year of Event Rebels. So that would definitely be one way to get in contact and give your feedback.
And one last thing, my last name has changed to Greason. So if they're looking for Kenningham, look for Greason on the website.
All right, spell that out for me so that I can type that here.
It's G-R-E-E-S-O-N.
G-R-E-E-S-O-N. Okay.
Yes.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I got that typed in there for you. And that way, when I have the show notes, it'll be Greason. So, all right. Very cool. Thank you for joining us. We're going to move to Mike Carroll, who is a member of the NATA Hall of Fame Committee, working here in SWATA. And
can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. All right. Welcome, Mike. So, Mike, quickly, you just got elected to a new position with the BOC, correct?
Correct.
The board of directors, right?
Athletic trainer director for the BOC, which there are, I believe, 6 or 7 athletic trainers, and then there are a couple public members on the board as well.
All right. Well, congratulations on that, sir.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate all the support from the District 6 people. I mean, it's a national election, so I had to have a good base of support, not only in secondary school setting but also in this district as well.
All right, so what is your job with the NATA Hall of Fame?
I'm the District 6 rep to the NATA Hall of Fame. It's a subcommittee of honors and awards, and they have our first conference call this year. There are, I believe, 56 or 58 athletic trainers that have been nominated for the Hall of Fame. And what we do, it's very interesting. This is my second year on the committee. We go through and we give a preliminary thumbs up or thumbs down on each candidate. And basically the first round is just do we think that they are Hall of Fame worthy? And we have this big giant rubric of about 10 pages of things that we can score them on. And the first round, 60% of the committee, which is, there's one person from each district. So 6 out of the 10 people have to give them a thumbs up for them to advance to the second round. Second round is another thumbs up, thumbs down, and you score it. And you 70% of the committee has to give them a thumbs up or thumbs down. And then finally, you will go through, whoever's left will get hard scored, where they each candidate will each cat or each committee or committee excuse me each category has a max number of points. So somebody couldn't just do nothing but presentations or nothing but research for their whole career and get into the Hall of Fame. It has to be well-rounded. And then the top 5 people, if there are 5, will be nominated or will be put forward to the NATA Board of Directors for induction into the Hall of Fame. And then there's also a special considerations committee, which are the people that have been nominated for the Hall of Fame and their max number of times to be looked at by our committee. And then the special considerations can put 2 of those in if they deem so, or recommend them. And if they don't recommend 2 people, then our committee will go back to our committee and they'll say, are there up to 2 more people that you feel are worthy of being included into the Hall of Fame?
So you said there's roughly 70 people. I think you said 75 people that are being considered, that kind of thing.
This year, I think it was 56 or 58.
And then out of all of those, only 5 would be accepted after they made it through 3 or 4 rounds.
Right. There was a year, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years ago where like 17 people went into the Hall of Fame, and they've changed the rules since then to where the max number that that will go into the Hall of Fame in any given year will be 7.
Gotcha. And that would include those 2 special consideration people. So
possible. Yes.
Got it.
There's not necessarily the special considerations don't necessarily have to put anybody in.
Okay. How did you get on or selected or asked to be on this subcommittee?
I just like being involved. I've had a long career of being involved for all the way from G hats up to the NATA level. And when Derringer was still the district director, they sent out one of those emails saying that there are, committees that SWATA has, a spot for. And if anybody's interested, send me an email. So I thought Hall of Fame would be interesting. So she appointed me to that committee.
Gotcha. So you just volunteered saying something I might want to try and check out, and then you went off from there. So,
yeah, and I've been on secondary school committee and the specialty certification committee way back, way before Jordan was involved with it. Council on employment. So I mean, I'm just I I don't like to just do the same thing over and over. So I felt like honors and awards would be, like I said, it's very interesting. And there are a lot of great athletic trainers out there that have done a lot of great things. And that's the amazing thing to me from last year that I found was the people that we did not recommend for the Hall of Fame that, you would sit there and you'd say, absolutely, these guys are Hall of Fame worthy. But it's just kind of what you're being compared to. And last year, the seven people that went in, ending athletic trainers, I don't think anybody can really argue that the people that went into the NATA Hall of Fame last year weren't, worthy of it.
Gotcha. All right. So if somebody wants to be like you, someone wants to get involved in that committee, help out with that, then how would they do that?
I think anytime when they send out an e-blast saying that there are committee openings, and I know there was one that was sent out here in the last couple of weeks, if it's something that interests you and something that you feel that you have the knowledge, skills, and ability to help with, throw your name in. They're probably not going to pick you if you don't ask. I think that's how I originally got involved. I think that's how Kat got involved is. Just being willing to do it.
All right. So, Mike, if somebody wants to get a hold of you specifically, what would be the best way to do that?
Probably my school email address, which I don't know if I'm on the SWATA website or not, but it's Michael, MICHAEL dot Carroll, CARROLL at SVILLE.US.
I like the boldness there in Stephenville, sville.us. That's it.
Absolutely.
That's all you need, right? Because when I was in Fort Bend, it was like fortbend.k12.tx.us. I was like, good night. So, like,
yeah, well, we used to have one of those, and mercifully we changed.
Yeah. And you got to make sure you capitalize it, too, because everything with Mike Carroll is capital, all bold. I mean, all capitalized. So he's
sure. Yeah.
All right. So Mike Carroll with the NATA Hall of Fame Subcommittee, where they help select basically the Hall of Fame members. And so if you want to get involved, then just look for those emails from the e-blast or find a different committee and get involved with that. And then that way you're establishing a good base of experience and you'll be more likely to be selected for a committee like that if that's what you desire to be involved in. Does that sound about right, Mike?
Absolutely. And, Stephanie was talking about people coming and volunteering for registration. And I mean, that's how I originally got involved with SWATA was when Jimmy Davidson was the, I would go and do a couple of shifts, way back in the day when we had where you had to stand in line and we had the big giant laptop or not laptops, desktop computers. And so, I mean, that's how I originally got involved and then kind of moved into secondary school committee and the rest is history, I guess.
All right. Sean, you got any other questions?
No, I think that covers it.
All right, Mike, thanks for joining us as we talk about District 6 and the agenda, what all's going on. So next we're going to...
Thanks for having me.
Sure thing. Feel free to stay on and ask questions of whoever else is coming on. Alan, you are up next. Alan Reed, working at Trinity Valley Schools with the Professional Education Committee, which is not the same as the post-professional education from Dr. Utley. So, Alan, tell us, what is going on with the Professional Education Committee?
Sure thing. Thanks for having us here.
Sure.
Like I said, I'm the District 6 representative of the Professional Education Committee. We serve under the ECE, or so the Executive Committee on Education, which has many branches below that, one of them being the post-professional. But our primary goal here on the PEC, Professional Education Committee, is to kind of promote and improve the quality of education in the professional educational programs, so the collegiate programs, university programs across the country. We have like three main charges from the ECE to improve preceptor training. So preceptors are those individuals that work in clinical settings that also teach our future athletic trainers. So me, I work in a secondary setting here at Trinity Valley School, but I also serve as a preceptor for Texas Christian University and Texas Wesleyan. So the kids come out and they do their educational experiences here. So from the PEC perspective, we help to improve the quality of education provided and educational training just for the preceptors themselves to try and improve the education overall. Our second charge from the ECE is to help out with just general professionals teaching, the educational professionals, be through teaching tips, through NATA presentations, just how is the professor at the collegiate level, you know, undergraduate or graduate level, how they, like, what else is going on out there? Do they use flipped classrooms? Do they use, you know, video services? What other tips are out there? How can you improve your quality of education you're providing to the pre-professional students? And then finally, we work in the transition of practice. We look at that first year, the crucial year. You know, we don't want to have burnout. We don't want to lose a lot of kids, or I guess young professionals to burnout or leaving the profession. I think we're doing a great job of educating people right now, but they're leaving to other professionals and providing some good quality professionals to other healthcare professionals. So we're trying to keep those athletic training students that graduate and stay in the profession of athletic training. We're doing this through a big transition of practice work group just started, studying, looking at other healthcare professions and how they're keeping their people on, how the nurses keep them on, how the PTs keep them around. So what can athletic training do? What's the best practice to actually do this? And then also through that transition of practice, we actually just finished up a big study I was a part of, was the internship interns throughout the NATA, just athletic training in general. Right now, that's one of the highest or the largest number of professionals of job settings, if you will, across athletic training right now is the intern. And so we went in and looked at, is this a really quality job recognized by the government? Do they meet financial standards and that kind of stuff? But two is, what do these individuals that work for an internship, what do they get out of it? Are they getting more confidence? Are they getting a formal education, informal education? Just kind of what's on that. So that was just wrapped up this past summer, and we're actually presenting our findings to the board of directors here within the next month or two.
All right. So as a preceptor there, you said you want to improve their preceptor training. Since you are currently a preceptor, what is your number one goal? If the kids leave you, the students leave you with only one thing, what would that one thing be?
Just to improve their confidence overall. You know, I really try and work on that clinical, you know, the clinical education overall. So they learn the textbooks in school, they learn how to do the evaluation, the history, the observation process. But then how do you improve that decision-making within the clinical setting, right? We work on, you know, let's take a knee injury, for example. If you approach an athlete on the field, what's the top three choices? What are you going to do? We need to worry about emergency situations, splinting. How can we, should we transport? How are we going to transport? And just try and improve that overall confidence of their clinical skills.
So going to the when you talk about what you're doing with the intern positions and how the intern positions are so great out there, what are you finding? I mean, what are you seeing? Because there's a lot of positions where it's basically just free labor or minimal price labor and stuff like that. What do we need to be doing to improve that? Where do we need to be guiding these first-year MATs or whatever that might be coming out that are in those intern positions and trying to get to that first position, that first full-time position, but they're taking that intern position? What do we need to be doing better?
That's a good question. I kind of stand with you on that one. I think there are a lot of interns out there and they're just free labor. They're working below the actual labor laws, you know, and the government set standards. That being said, though, so this was a study, you know, combined between, you know, people from PHATs, you know, professional football athletic trainers, PBAT, professional baseball, a college and university setting. There's a lot of people involved in this study across the country. And we found that, yes, you know, we need to improve the quality of education. We need to, people are seeking out these internships just to improve their clinical confidence, improve their networking skills and that kind of stuff. You know, we know about the NFL and the professional interns that are out there. They do a good job. You know, the NFL has really stood up and said, we're going to take a stand on these interns, these year-long interns, and they're paying a good salary. They're making a good impact from the HR perspective almost. You know, I think a lot of, but then you look at the college and university internships, they're really not to par. I think that was a big finding of our study, is that, you know, the quality of the pay rate, the hours worked, the quality of life just isn't representative. You might as well work at McDonald's for the amount of you know, stuff you're doing and not being paid for the professional you are. So I think it's one thing we're approaching in ATA. It's still some talk within the board, and just look at regulations. If you're going to call yourself an internship, you need to meet certain amounts of certain standards. You know, according to the national labor laws, an internship is a formal educational process, right? So if you're already a professional working at an internship level, are you really meeting the standards of the true job description? Or are you just an entry level athletic trainer working in an entry level position?
So I guess when we go back to certain professions like strength and conditioning coach they do a lot of very similar in the collegiate setting, and the CSCCA has like their internship positions where they go into and will actually work as in a lot of positions free, no payment, anything like that. And in some of those instances, then they can then after working in those positions sit for their CSCCA exam or that might be. Some of those positions require you to do work, and obviously they require you to train your athletes in the collegiate setting. That would be, and then some of them also require like readings and stuff like that. Is that kind of what you're saying, that not so much educational, but hey, this is what we need to get out of those type of positions?
To an extent. You know, I think the difference there, we speak about the strength conditioning internships versus the athletic training internships. They're not necessarily certified, if I hear you correectly, through the you know, if you, hey, I want to go work in a college setting. I have my undergraduate degree in exercise performance, let's say. And then I want to go and get more education. I do an internship with the local strength coach, let's say, you know, at U of H or whatever. And I gain valuable knowledge, yes, and I go sit for my CSCS from there. I think that's fine. It's what we're finding is the athletic trainer that goes out and, you know, oh, I want to work in a college setting, so I'll go work at X university and I'll take an internship for a year. Yes, you should learn some quality stuff. You should. There's no formal. I think what we're finding is there's no formal education within that process. It's just, hey, come work for me. Yeah, you get quality experience because you work in Division I football or Division I baseball or gymnastics or whatever. But there's no formal education within the system to truly call it an internship. They need some of that formal education. I think the bad thing is within the athletic training profession, we just accept it as, well, my forefathers did it, and maybe I should do it too. If I want to get a job in the college setting, I need to just suck it up and do it.
So is that where can people help with this? Where can people, is there the ability to help with this committee? Especially that in the internship for us, we have a lot of interns, and I think you're right. We're sitting in some of that same area. How can people get involved with that professional education committee?
I think, you know, just like Mike and Dr. Utley said, is, you know, just get involved. You just have to start volunteering. You know, I saw the same thing. I kind of saw a posting through an email and said, hey, you know, and this looks interesting. I work as a preceptor and an adjunct professor. So that's kind of something different and a passion of mine. So I thought this would be something different to get involved. You know, if you want to contact me, you know, if you have any suggestions from District 6, you know, as we transition to the master's program, if you have some ideas on internships, that's kind of, you know, or just some teaching tips or something you want to provide or help with other professionals, you know, you can email me. My email is reida@trinityvalleyschool.org. Really long email. But, you know, I think just getting your voice heard. And then so as far as the internships, if you look at what your position is and you're in a position you can make some decisions, then, you know, you need to maybe it's just time that we stand up for the profession, the people we are. You know, it's not always the grass isn't always greener necessarily, but at the same time, we do need to stand up for who we are and what we work for, you know? And so I think we struggle with that sometimes.
All right, Reed, you're talking about best practices and teaching tips. Is that geared mostly for the college students, or is that, do you have a kind of a section there that would be good for high school students, secondary schools? Because obviously you said you're in the secondary school, so.
Yeah, it's through the NATA website. You can go to nata.org and then go through the website through there. I think it's more geared towards the college professional. But at the same time, I think, you know, I'm sure a high school athletic trainer could use it. And you know, I watched one just the other day that talked about having kids for their upper extremity evaluation class, they had to videotape themselves, had to do a project and submit a full, you know, clinical assessment of a shoulder. And they videotaped it so the professor could see how the kids track themselves and videotape themselves and realized, oh, this wasn't the best hand position. I need to do this. I need to call it the right name of the test. So the kids' skill improved through making the video, almost some biofeedback for the kids as they worked on their clinical skills. But there's, you know, there's, I think we're going to try to put out a, it was a new initiative that started last year. There was 5 produced last year. We're trying to push for at least try to do 10 to 12 this year, maybe once a month if we can. So there's some new ones coming out, and we're always asking for new ideas. We just had a conference call last week, and that was kind of one of the big pushes, was ask our, you know, our people within our district, if they have any ideas or would like to submit an idea, feel free to contact us, and we can try and get it out to the masses.
Cool. Well, in January, that's, you know, we always have the GHATS meeting there, the student athletic trainer or student trainer aid workshop in January. And so that month during the podcast, I'm actually kind of focusing on student programs. So I plan to talk with the people at Venice High School because they're doing some really cool stuff out there in California. We're talking about the High School National Athletic Trainers Honor Society. And one of the things I also want to talk about in January is the best practices, which is right along what you're doing for teaching athletic training or sports medicine to the high school student. And so I think that's a really good resource. Hopefully I'll be able to check that out and look there. And then maybe I can get back with you and see what else you've gotten, or even you can come back on and talk to us for a few minutes just about some of the things that you guys have on there and the best ways to utilize those in a secondary setting. So
sure.
So again, that's my plan for January. So we'll see how that all works out. So, all right. So Reed, we have your email. That's the best way to get hold of you. Anything else you'd like to share?
That's about it. I guess just, you know, this is my first time to serve on a committee, and it's just been a good experience. And, you know, like they all say, like, you know, they never say no unless you ask. So I didn't think I had quite the credentials to do it, but I guess I've learned a lot, and it's been a great opportunity.
Okay. Catherine, I've got another question for you. Kat Marr, she's in the chat room there. She asked if you guys know the cost of the Event Rebels, or maybe if you guys can look at that. I think Stephanie said she was going to kind of look into some of those as well. But
I do not know off the top of my head, but I can get in contact with some people, Kat, and I will get back to you. And I'll let you know what I find out or who I can get you in touch with to find out.
All right. There you go. And then I think that's pretty much anything. Go ahead, Sean.
I think that, the big thing that I like about this is that you're starting to get to know a little bit about what's out there and what the committees do. I know probably when I was younger, I didn't have, earlier in the profession, I had no idea what was going on with the NATA committees and the district committee, depending upon what district that I was in at the time. And I mean, I don't think a lot of people understood how important it truly is and how it can actually not only professionally help you by, obviously you see it on a resume, you see it on a CV, whatever that you do, but you also are impacting your profession and impacting the what's going on in your profession and what you're doing. There's a lot of people out there that complain about hours and or complain about time and or have complaints about a lot of things, be that where the profession might go, what it might do, payment, whatever that it is. There's a lot of people that have those things that probably aren't involved and could be involved and could put their 2 cents in. And you know what? There's a lot of answers out there that probably have already been made and or that are, there's a reason behind it, and that a lot of people don't understand. And I think probably as the best thing that I've seen is a lot of young professionals, you know, trying to get in the end of those committees and stuff like that. And even to take it from somebody that's been turned down from a committee, just continue to put yourself out there, continue to volunteer, continue to show that you want to be a part of that committee. I don't know if who all else is left, but if anybody else can kind of add to that, that's kind of my 2 cents in it, is we need to do a better job of getting out there and putting ourselves in those positions to help.
You know, as a high school student, even a college student, and when I did my internship with the Texans, I wasted a lot of opportunity just because I wasn't, I don't know if there wasn't anybody telling me, hey, there's a lot of opportunities to be involved, a lot of chances to get to know people, or if it's just that I was that stubborn. And I mean, as I work with high school kids, you realize that high school boys sometimes are just, I don't know if dumb is the right word, but just like clueless. Right. Because obviously I was a high school boy at one point, and I'm just admitting I was clueless. I didn't think about anything outside of the immediate. But one of the students I talked to, Josie Myers out in Carolina, she's a high school sophomore or junior this year, and she's already, you know, trying to get involved with stuff. She's been on the podcast. She's been listening to the podcast regularly and those kind of things. And man, I'm just been really impressed. And, you know, here's a way we just talked with Catherine and Stephanie. Here's a way that she could get involved with her local organization and help with registration possibly. You know, it's something that's easy enough for a high school student to do. Whereas, you know, obviously with Alan's job, she couldn't help with that. But, you know, as a high school student, if you're interested in athletic training, it's a great way to get involved is find out that local organization. So for us, GHATS, how could I help? For SWATA, how can I help? And so, Sean, this was a great topic. I'm glad you brought this to us. So
I think it's, I remember being in that position in my profession. And I mean, being that dumb high school boy, probably. I thought that my biggest job was taking care of my athletes, and that's all I had time for, especially because, I mean, you're working a lot of time, you're putting a lot more in. But I think that we all need to realize how important our district and the NAT is to us, and volunteer for those and put ourselves out there for that stuff.
All right, Catherine, you used to be in charge of the SWATA blog, correct?
I did, yes.
All right, so how did you get involved with that?
I just kind of fell into place. The first few years I was involved in SWATA, I was a member of the PR committee. And the year before I got involved with the blog, they just kind of, Kendall Goldberg is the committee chair for PR, and she needed someone to help her out running the blog. And I just like Sean said, I said, hey, I can do that. I can run that. So I just, I contacted you, I contacted a few other people, and I just kind of took over that for a while.
So there you go. It's pretty much just, hey, I need help. All right, I'm willing to help. And then
yes,
that's where I went from there. So awesome.
Now, I guess, how did you start out then in SWATA?
It kind of really just all fell into place. I did grad school at Texas A&M, and I worked in Bryan ISD, and I got in touch with the Woodalls. They were both my preceptors, one in the fall and one in the spring. And so I just kind of, I mean, hopefully I didn't bother them, but I hope I was just bothersome enough and always just asking tons and tons of questions. And so over time, they were like, hey, you know, I'm starting this new thing. Do you want to look at it? Hey, I'm doing this. Do you want to help me with it? Or do you want to look this over? And then that summer, I went to SWATA, and it just kind of snowballed from there, I guess you could say.
Yeah, Josh and Jamie are great people. They're very kind, very helpful. So, yeah, the Woodall is down here, and Brian. Of course, they're both athletic trainers working at rival schools. There you go, rival mm-hmm. schools. They're in the same district. So really good people to meet and know, even if it's outside of SWATA. So Jamie's, I know, involved with some of the awards committees for the NATA and stuff like that. So definitely get in touch with them if you're interested, and then they could point you in the right direction. So
yes. Yeah, that's what last year I went and talked to some of the current students at Texas A&M, and I did pretty much exactly what Sean said a moment ago. I said, you know, it really only get out of your organization what you put into it. Just exactly like Sean said, you know, people come with, you know, these kind of problems and problems and problems. But I found, you know, the more you get involved, the more maybe you could have a part in maybe some solutions, or maybe talking about ways to fix some of the things that people bring to you or to the membership, really.
One thing too with NATA being here in Houston this year, now maybe I'm speaking out of place, but I know Kat's been kind of heading a lot of that stuff up. So that's going to be a big volunteer opportunity, I would imagine, for a lot of individuals, yeah, a lot of people, whether you're a student, whether you're young professional, whether you've been in the profession for a long time, people that just want to get involved. I'm certain that she's probably going to be looking for a ton of people. So
yep. So Kat Maher is our current president of GHATS. So GHATS.org. And then you can click on president or email Kat Maher there, and she could get your contact information and go from there. And I believe it's C Maher marr2 at kleinisd.net is her school email. And just say, hey, I want to help. I want to be involved. And so, again, with it being in Houston, it's going to be a big deal. We obviously want to represent better than anybody else. So I think that should bring us to a close. Catherine, you got any other final thoughts?
I don't think so. This was great. Thanks for having me.
Sure thing. Sean?
No, I think this is awesome. I really like it. I appreciate going with the idea there, Jeremy.
No problem. Sean, somebody wants to get a hold of you?
STR3 at rice.edu or Sean Reedy, R-E-A-D-Y, underscore ATC on Twitter.
All right. So if you're going to get a hold of Sean, ask him about any of his experiences, situations, questions, or how he keeps that beard so handsome. That's how you do it. So definitely check out Frio Hydration. My boy Robbie works real hard to provide the best quality hydration equipment. Check them out, friohydration.com. And then if enough people from the Sports Medicine Broadcast hit him up, then he's going to give me something to give away to you guys as well. So again, whatever I get, I do my best to give back to you, the listeners of the Sports Medicine Broadcast. And, you know, my preferred provider for sports medicine equipment is School Health, and they do a great job. I just emailed them yesterday, hey, I need a quote for this. And then before lunch today, I had the quote back. So definitely give them a shot. School Health, you know, obviously in secondary setting, we got to make sure they're inside of our bid list, but give them a shot. I really enjoy working with School Health. And then you can also register at schoolhealth.com/SMB to win a gift card. So anybody anywhere can do that. Register at schoolhealth.com/SMB for your chance to win a gift card, which is drawn every other month. And then that's gives you a pretty good little prize. So Israel Montano down in the valley has already won twice. So for Jeremy Jackson, which on Twitter, I am Mr. Jeremy Jackson, MR Jeremy Jackson, Mr. Jeremy Jackson. The Sports Medicine Broadcast kids did a great job today. Keeping up with the camera switching was pretty tough. Sean Reedy over at Rice University. So that is a wrap.